May 17, 2009, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Live from Pedro Show. I'm here with guitarist Tom Watson, drummer Raul Morales, Mike Watt and the Missing Man. We're in
Ogallala, Nebraska.
Ogallala, Nebraska, which is like southwest corner.
Yeah, it's about 20-30 miles from the corner, the northwest corner of Colorado.
Right. Because tomorrow's gig is Denver, and tonight we had no gig, which. First time since we finished recording Third Opera in Brooklyn with Tony Momoni. We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Mars, which we've been playing.
Right before the gigs.
Before the gigs and after the gigs. Mm-hmm. Actually, we didn't start the tour. Actually, we spaced and didn't do anything at first.
I forgot about that part. Too many things to remember.
It's been 4.5 years since the Mike Watt U.S. tour, so we had to get back into that.
You got to do what you got to do.
Right, but we were playing, actually, Ohm. Right? Remember? And then that got donated. What town?
That went to...
Actually went a long time.
That went to the Club Cafe in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, all the way up to Pittsburgh. So it lasted a long time, and then it got donated. So we started up with Mars. And after that, we heard Tripod Jimmy with Autumn Leaves.
Yes. Not to be confused with Autumn Leaves.
Right.
The 50 other versions.
Yes. There's our versions. This is original. Because actually, Mr. Herman says, this is not...
This is no autumn leaves.
And that's when the vice...
The twist.
The nut twist.
Comes in. Well, it's about 2.5 twists, I think.
2.5 twists?
Let loose.
He's already got it pretty hiked up.
So maybe after doing this a few times, this might actually be like 3 or 3.25 twists.
Yeah.
After doing it a few times, maybe it might be an extra twist.
Yeah, we wanted to do a show... Earlier in the tour, but it's just been too full for us. But so we're getting our chance now with a week left. And but we want to talk about the tour, and it started on April 17, actually. In the first gig,
it was Plush, Tucson, Arizona,
Tucson.
Right. And so, what are your thoughts of that?
It was a long drive.
Yeah.
It was nice though, not bad.
L.A. Tucson about. 400 miles. No, more than that.
It was more than that. More miles than that. About 10 hours.
450, yeah. About 10 hours. And Phoenix, ride a car. I saw a four-wheel in the inside thing next to the divider. And, whoa, look at that. It's sitting on its hub. And then we look over and we see the tire.
Well, the traffic got kind of slow and funny. Like it all... got pensive or tentative in front of us.
This 5-foot tire to bounce across like five
lanes. Yeah, doing a straight, like, you know, angle cut across
five lanes.
But it made
it. It didn't hit anybody.
Yeah, it just hit the sidewall. Good thing it didn't go over the wall. You know, into someone's yard.
Yeah.
Someone's head.
Sunbathing.
Yeah, in the tanning salon.
So that first gig.
Yeah.
Who played with us?
Ooh.
Well, you know, we got a tour diary, so some these things where we can't get details, you can go and read back. Also, we had somebody else with us. It wasn't just us three in a boat.
We had Peak.
We had a guest.
It was Miss Peak. First week she spent with us on her way to
New Orleans.
Right, because she had a big proj.
Photo proj. Jazz Fest.
So she's in the diary, too. That's over at the Hoot page, HOOTPAGE.com. And click on all of us have little entries for every day that we play the gig.
So Pika has her own voice in that You know, it's not like she's in the diary written about, but she's actually writing in the diary.
With peak voice.
And the monitors and Gabowski.
Dude, they ain't going to hear you.
The monitors. I'm telling you. The monitors and the big Gabowski.
The big Gabowski.
No, and Gabowski?
Gabowski. That dude had that big homemade cello.
I know, you sure it's not Gabrowski? It might be Gabrowski.
No, it's Gabrowski.
I know, we ate some chow at Chingano's.
Chingano's.
Food fuckers.
Martin.
Right. And
I guess we were the fuckers.
I think the first gig was good for us. We played good. We're coming out of the gate. We got to do some gigs for a couple weeks before the tour. I think we started up the band again.
We did five.
In February.
Yeah, we did one every weekend. And then
no, not February,
weekend.
March.
Yeah.
Maybe the Old Town Pub in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Redwood.
Yeah, but the first
the
one.
The first one, yeah.
Redwood. We did Space a benefit Land. Outside. No, Spaceland with Lee Ronaldo.
Yeah.
So from Tucson, we conked with Brother Matthew. Mm. Our first conk.
From Arkansas.
Right. And, right, but he had moved to Tucson.
Oh, yeah.
And then we end up in, the next gig is in Albuquerque.
That's kind of a drive.
That was kind of a drive. We went south.
We saw Chili Man.
Oh, yeah, Gilly's.
Gilly's Chili's.
We went through, was that?
Truth or Consequences.
Yeah, we took kind of a lonely path.
Yeah.
No.
But it was all right. And the weather wasn't too hot. In fact, we had great really weather the whole first part. Never rained on us till the recording.
Mm. Kind of good timing, too.
Yeah. So that gig in Berkey was at the launch pad.
Yeah. Right on the main drag.
I got a couple of Kachinas.
Central.
Got made it just in time, within minutes.
15 minutes.
To get the Kachinas. And, I don't know. What'd you chow's? Jap chow, right?
We got some.
Yeah, we went sushi across the street with Peak.
Yeah,
Mexico sushi.
I had up the street at Giro.
Yeah, I would have liked some roasted chili and whole beans and maybe some enchiladas or something like that. Tamale.
Indigenous.
But it didn't seem to pop up right around there for some reason.
It was Main Street. The old part was the old Route 66. I played the club many times. We had a pretty good gig that one too for number two, as I remember.
Yeah.
Blowing some clams, but not
too
many.
Yeah, I remember it being just okay.
The sound. Oh, I had the mic stand.
The Freddie Mercury.
Many timbers. Yeah, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, the model, autograph model.
And let's see. Now we conked there.
We stayed with dude, Mushroom Man.
Or Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff had been partying. He had been doing some partying, as they say.
He's a nice guy. He was like from Maryland or something.
Yeah. Well, we were staying at his ex's house.
Yeah, that's right. And there was chickens. There was chicks.
Yeah.
Peeping. They were peeping away.
Kind of tripped me out.
I think you conked them by him.
Yeah, right by the
and
heater.
The floor heater. You almost ended up waffling.
Waffling.
That was kind of a trippy place.
Yeah. There was ducks in the backyard. Next we,
Dallas. But we headed towards Dallas. We went to.
We had a day off.
Went to the Cadillac.
And we ended up conking. We went to Cadillac Ranch.
Cuervo.
In fact, first Cuervo. That's right.
That
we got
was
the
a
road.
Trippy ghost.
This is a town that I've been past so many times on I-40, not too far east of Albuquerque. Oh, we saw some hot air balloons.
Yeah, Albuquerque is known for that.
That's right.
That sort of behavior.
So I pull off the road. I dealt with Ecosan when I took her through there. But this time, I took Tom and Raul, and we examined this town. I mean, there was a website, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I think some of it's for sale.
Kind of a nice little place.
But a lot of fixer-uppers.
Well, I mean, it's pretty nice old adobes. They're just...
That got beat.
They're really broken down. They're weathered. They're weathered,
Whoa. So we continue on until we get into the panhandle. Well, and then we stop at the Cadillac Ranch, and we actually get a hunk of the paint off one of these Cadillacs, and we attach Velcro. It's on the dash of the boat.
And maybe like 30 layers of spray paint.
Ooh. And we conk in a town called Childress. And what was across the street?
The big Megalo Mart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there was some dudes practicing roping.
Yeah, that was true.
Little metal steer on wheels. They're pulling around in the parking lot.
Right.
Kind of hot and swelter. It was a Sunday. So we wanted to get beer. We were a little worried about it.
Just a little.
On a Sunday.
But the Walmart had it.
The Walmart had it. So everything was fine.
So the next day we continue on to Dallas and we play Granada Theater. Mm-hmm.
Big old theater.
And, yeah, but built like 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
Nice thing in a part of town we ain't been before. Before we got there, I took the guys to Dealey Plaza. And,
the knoll.
The grassy knoll. And there was a cat there who was a teenager, or 12-year-old?
15, I believe.
15?
Yeah.
When it happened. And he was talking to people about his experiences with it. Which was kind
of
trippy.
There's a picture of him in one of the newspapers.
Right.
Pointing himself out anyway.
Yeah. And went to the fence where he says he thinks the shooter was behind the grassy knoll. And we did the gig with some Austin bands. They drove up from Austin. And Lions. The Lions?
Maybe not the Lions, maybe just Lions?
Something like that.
And another cat from
Austin. Like I said, on the Hoot page we got...
Are they both from Austin?
That's right. They both drove up.
Golden Boys.
Golden Boys. Golden Boys. They're very different types of music.
Yeah, Golden Boys. It reminded me of the song Darby wrote with Pat that Pat covered on a solo record.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were trippy. And
you thought they kind of sounded like Velvets a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of simplistic. Kind of
four tom snare kind of
repetition.
They were good. And I told them about that. I wanted to get them that song. And then we went on and had a good gig. I remember that gig. I remember them all slightly. And I thought we did really well there.
Rudyard's?
Next we went to Houston.
Yeah.
The weather was still happening for us. We're in Texas now, and it's not that hot and sweaty yet.
Although it's noticeably getting humid.
It was getting a little bit warmer.
Houston was a little more humid. But not bad. Not like it could have been. And we played Red Utes.
Lady Heat. And the Jocks.
And Jocks that we played with before.
The Jocks.
The Jocks, yeah.
They're nice dudes.
Yeah, they're
good
really
band,
good, too.
Trippy band. And that gig was wild. Tom got his headstock tangled some... No, lady's hair.
The other way around, actually. Some lady's
hair. She headbutted the headstock.
She fell on my head, my guitar. And,
is that the one where you hurt your knee? Not yet.
It was a load up and down stairs, maybe.
Might have been.
It was big stairs. It was a good gig. Then we went and cocked at Mike McGuire's pad in LaPorte.
Yeah, right there on the water.
I've done
it
for years.
Drive. It's nice.
He made us a great chow in the morning. Cooked up a big thing for us.
Soy chorizo.
Yeah. In fact, there was a couple times I having soy because Brother Matthew had some soy kind of. No.
Bacon.
That was where we called
it. Oh, no,
that
was that.
Bacon.
Jeremy.
He has the soy bacons.
Yeah, Melissa was making those.
I had whiskey the night before.
You did?
Yeah. He's a teacher, a guitar teacher.
Yeah.
We're talking.
Jazz player.
Good guy, man. And in the morning, we had these soy sausage patties and bacons. And then Mike McGuire makes us up chorizo that's soy.
Yeah.
And then from there, we went to New Orleans. No,
well,
Baton Rouge. We never made it to New Orleans. That's where Peak went on to. And we played a place called Spanish Moon.
With that rockabilly
kind of
band.
Kind of cool place.
Yeah, they were called...
They're called the... Oh, God. This is a good one to try to
remember.
Oh,
is it the
shit.
It's a religious thing. And then,
like I said, it's in the page, the diary there.
The Something City
good band.
Triflers.
Huh?
Something City Triflers.
The Triflers, yeah.
The Triflers.
For the B.
Beauville.
The 30 Triflers.
No, I don't know, but they played a good rockabilly thing, and they're really nice guys. And that was a good gig, too, man. A little challenging. It was really tall, an old pad, maybe three floors, but they knocked out the floor, so it was kind of tall.
It had that French kind of feel.
And it had an old brick.
Yeah, yeah, but like with the railing.
And I remember us finishing, and the DJ man coming on. Blast.
Techno beat.
He apologized.
That was not Coltrane that they popped in there.
There was some disco party on right after.
That guy cleared charged,
the room.
Charged,
DJ cleared the room.
DJ Allraker. Yeah. It cleared up. Like and that gig for Chow, we had Pete's. Yeah. I remember you ordered Pete's.
Pizza, yeah.
Well, we didn't know where we were. I thought.
Yeah, I know. It was all right. It was
not very good.
It was Domino.
Pretty close. They're working on it. We had a lot of fruit, though.
That's right.
Salsa.
Good salsa.
We ended up staying in Spanish Town.
Steve's place. That was a cool place.
Had
the bathtub that filled up.
Yeah, it was
seconds.
In the old Spanish Town.
Near the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, the
Capitol building.
Capitol building.
Right across the
state capitol.
And that's where we leave Peak at the bus station.
The next morning, we take her to the Greyhound.
Yeah. We drive then to Tallahassee.
Yeah,
for the first gig with the Dino guys.
We joined
that
Dinosaur.
That was kind of a drive.
And it was another moon club, but it was just the moon. And it was kind of hooked up with Florida State.
Looked like University. A supper kind of
club, right.
Fancy place.
And we meet Merv and Lou and Jay.
The skaters.
Also Sim.
They're doing, right. Well, Sim is where we conk with, but he's outside
the gear. He's the first one there.
Right. And Dinosaur's making a video with bikes and skaters.
BMX.
Right. And
they're all dressed up to look like they have doubles.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're set up in front. Noel is sound man for Dinosaur. Ryan. We want to make no problem, as least changeover as possible. So we sit up right in front. And I remember having no monitors. Here, this is a big pad compared to all these gigs we've been playing. And the worst monitors.
Well, and our own monitor mixer guy on the side.
Not ours.
What I mean is we have a monitor mixer separate.
Wasn't
there
the front
house.
It was the club.
Club guy, yeah.
What I mean is it's not the front house
Explain
guy
what
doing
you
monitors.
Mean, man.
I'm saying there's a monitor guy on the side of the stage.
Who
it's, not
give
the
a
front,
damn.
It's not the front house. It's all he does is monitors. Okay?
I think he might have gave it a damn, but he didn't get it together.
It's the first time there was a guy dedicated to monitors and we had no monitors.
Right.
Put it that way.
Yeah. Well played.
Right.
That's when you lost your glass.
Yeah, that's when the lens of my glasses fell out. But luckily, this cat found him.
I know.
What was his name?
Tim? He's the best guitarist in Tallahassee.
He's the best guitarist in Tallahassee.
One of the best.
And, I got to write him about that. He's a nice man. That was incredible that he found it.
I know. He just walked up to me with that lens, and I said, I just took him back to give it to you personally. I thought that was probably the best.
Anyway, this young man we had met before the show, named Sim, had us conk at his pad.
Yeah. Super generous.
And brings the whiskey. His wife brings some whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
A fresh bottle of Maker's Mark.
The glasses weren't fresh. I don't think the glasses have been used for a long time.
I don't think they've ever been used.
Yeah, because they had like maybe an inch of dust.
They were breeding.
The first couple of shots, I was like, whoa.
It tastes good.
And like, we gotta wash these things on it.
What is this, the 30 year, or what is this? That's the good
stuff. Strong, but he's a sweet guy, and he ends up giving Tom here Echoplex.
That's true, incredibly. And also a little tiki for the dashboard.
From Sri Lanka.
The Sri Lanka.
Yeah, like a Medusa kind of thing.
And I think we had just set up the homies, too.
Yeah,
what
was that set up?
We started putting it all together.
Day before.
Developing our own little thing.
First Missing Man tour was open for Chili Peppers in Europe in 2006, November, December. And what were those things called?
The Kinders.
Kinder children.
We got
toys.
Hooked on the Kinder
there's
eggs.
There's these little chocolate eggs, and you open them up, and there'd be some kind of dude.
Well, there's a piece, there's the actual chocolate egg that you eat, and you get a toy on the
inside.
Well,
it was outside. inside was
the toy.
The project.
It was kind of a dude. Yeah. Sometimes it'd be a puzzle or a game, and it'd be lame. But sometimes it was a dude, and we kept the, you know, creature, an entity, right. Yeah. A persona. Entity. And we had a whole.
We had about 50 euros worth in the dash.
Yeah.
Money well spent.
And
that's,
those are only the ones that we saved because we got a bunch of duds.
The bulk ones are doubles. So we actually got these in a sack in the prac pad.
We gotta
and pictures them. Of them where we could recreate that scene.
The actual
in
layout.
The meantime, we did this little one.
Yeah, kind of reference.
With homies. I don't know how. There was a sack of homies in the
just
boat.
Just floating around and found them.
Yeah.
And one dude was a clown.
Yeah, but not a you know, like, kind of a
one dude was had an ice cream.
He's peddling.
Oh, some guy's peddling his hielos.
Is that what it is?
Hielos. Yeah.
Okay. And one guy's, there's one a couple ladies.
One guy's chained to a stake waiting to get beaten. Another guy at the pool cue waiting to beat him with it.
Yeah, it's a neat scene.
There's a Sancho.
Anyway, yeah, there's a Sancho,
and
right.
A Sancho, maybe.
Yeah. And there's a Sancho. Next gig's another Florida one. It's in Jacksonville Beach. And it's at...
The Freebird.
Freebird. Live.
Oh, yeah.
And it's right by the water. I saw the Atlantic Ocean. And I chowed a hot dog. And I had a grouper.
Yeah. Yeah, before we did that, we stopped at St. Augustine
to get the stickers. Those stickers.
That's right, to get stickers with Rob DiPiazza.
Up the
and we went
coast.
By the oldest town in the country. In that,
I mean,
fort
you,
made out of the seashells.
Excluding all indigenous peoples.
Yeah,
towns,
of course. Yeah, they don't say that.
None.
They gotta say that. Like in Pedro, they got that statue of Cabrillo, right, yeah. Coming in.
Mine.
And then Stephen White is like, they're like waving to each other. And there's no statues of people who are already there. Is this for free? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, free. It's up for grabs. They don't even know.
That's kind of
they want some beads.
Yeah,
so really, they ain't the oldest town. Fuck that.
Yeah.
All right, so we get to Jacksonville. We're playing with Jay and Lou and Murph. And it's a littler stage, so we got to move the drums. We got to strike the drums. They do. And that was a pretty good gig. That one had monitors. And no monitor man, in fact. The guy running the board set the monitors and ran back to do our set and did great.
Yeah, sometimes gigs have a monitor board on the side of the stage and a front mixer. And other times, guys do the monitors from the same front mixer. So, but in this case... There's a side mixer and a front house mixer, and only one guy running it all. So it was impossible for him to run back to the mixer. So anyway, just explaining. Because in this case, the monitors were really
good. But how did he do such a good job?
He just set it up and did it right.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
Somehow, maybe just the room was right. We played right.
It was great. We conquered Al's pad. Now, Al, old friend of Ed from Ohio's, and it was round the river, and Tom Guy's fingernails. No. toenails painted. Which I didn't know because I conked. I saw him.
What color?
Mike had nothing to do with it. He's completely exempt.
I didn't. Two neighbors came over and I gave some speech to them and just passed out.
He would have chosen a different color for me.
What'd you choose, though?
Pink.
Yeah, whoa. Of course.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I didn't choose it. It's what she had.
But he got them off. And he didn't use removal. He sanded them off.
With a file.
He used a file.
That's all I had.
So then we drive up the coast to Charleston, South Carolina.
The swelter was happening there.
A little bit. Not bad.
It's not bad, but we do feel...
And for what potentially that could have been. Yeah. And we play a place called the Music Farm. By the old
big old warehouse
area.
In the 1800s.
Right. It said 1857. It's before the war. Charleston wasn't burnt, so it's got a lot of oldage. And I thought that gig was pretty good too, man. That was a really good gig. And it had a high ass ceiling because this was like a railroad thing.
Yeah.
Where the trains came and they loaded on stuff, livestock, and goods. And so the rafters were real high. And
slaves.
I know.
I didn't know. Yeah. Some bad karma.
A lot of history.
History, bad history. But we played there, and maybe exercise in that. But I thought we did really good for that gig. And that one, we got to set up in front of their drums. I remember we were way up front on the stage. And we still don't have
early, remember?
Yeah, we still don't have Lou on. Yeah, we had to leave early because where we were conking with a cat across the river. Can't remember his name now, but his brother came over and his cousin.
Howard?
Yep.
Howard? Yeah. Good job, Tom.
Wow. But good cat, and I think some whiskey got drank at that.
There was some whiskey.
But it wasn't bourbon. It was scotch, I think. And
I was talking in my sleep that night.
That's when you had those dreams, the help me dreams.
Oh,
they're not really dreams.
When you're gasping.
It's more like I'm just telling you to wake me up. It's not really a dream.
They're please.
It's like, please. wake me, you know. 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Anyway.
I'm trying to think. Well, from there, we had to drive to North Carolina because we had 3 North Carolina gigs. Now, these are all still with Dinosaur. That's the only Dinosaur one where we don't see them actually play. Well, no,
well,
the last
one. We saw some of them play.
Some of it.
Remember from upstairs?
A little bit. Bailed. A little bit. And then we don't see the last one because we got to go record. Mm-hmm. But all the rest, we saw all their gigs. And we drive to Asheville, North Carolina, North Carolina. Orange Peel.
Roller Rink.
And TJ from Porto for Pyro Days came from Thomasville in the middle of the state. And I hadn't seen TJ in a long time. I did some tours with him in 96 for Porto for Pyro. And he's a good cat. And I remember we chatted some Asia Chow.
The Noodle House.
Yeah, and I had to
kind
blow
of fusion.
I had to blow it out, though.
Yeah.
It hurt me.
You were hurt for a day or two.
And the banjo. A lot of hard work.
Much hard work.
Yeah, much hard work. The gig was trippy. It was like I think it was a former roller rink.
And you were pissed, too. They had the Coltrane real low.
Yeah, they didn't play Coltrane loud. But we ended up having a good gig. We played good. And that's one where there was a sideman doing monitors, and he did good.
It turned out pretty good.
That's what I remember.
Everyone kind of won them over.
Yeah, won them over. One of those kind of gigs. And then we drive east to...
We stay with your friends, Raul, right?
Oh, yeah. We stay with
Morgan and JD.
Yeah, I remember there was a sign on the... There's roommates. One of the doors said, keep door closed. Cats are pissing in here.
Just so you want to keep them in there.
But they were righteous cats.
Yeah.
They were all related.
Furry.
Big fur balls. And they're related. And they're beautiful. And that was a neat house. Older style.
Kind of San Francisco style.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And then we drove east to Carrboro, next Chapel Hill, and we played the Cat's Cradle, an old friend Frank Heath, maybe third or fourth one he's had.
How many times have you played Cat's Cradle?
God, and also 3 or 4 of them.
Different locations.
Mm-hmm. A couple times at Chapel Hill. This one's in Carrboro, right next door. I had to get a new mic because I had left my mic in Jacksonville Beach.
Oh, Jacksonville.
Yeah. They ended up mailing it to Baltimore. So, we played the Cat's Cradle. Mac and... John from Superchunk came to the gig. That was cool. Two former members of Ed from Ohio's band Grand National was there, Laura and Jenny. And Jenny's renting a house from John from Superchunk. So that's where we end up conking. And also, that's a day off.
The next day, isn't it? Day off. So we've got a nice...
So we're there for 2 days, and we made a queue for them. Well, we should talk about the gig. The gig was... I thought the gig was a good one. We had a monitor man. He did good monitor.
Yeah.
It was a good crowd. First, the crowd probably was at first a little stiff, and then we won them over big time. Or they let us win
it. It was a strenuous gig. There was a lot of sweat.
That one was a sweatier gig.
That was a sweater.
Yeah, it was. But I liked it. But we did well. Me going conk over there.
Well, we brought Murph with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we shanghaied her.
Well, you did because I conked.
Well, no, but he jumped in our van.
He's in the boat with us, yeah.
And then we took him back, so.
Because next day I get the oil changed. Yeah. And then you guys get up stuff for Bob's. Right,
yeah,
Chow's.
Bob. We walk to the market.
Right. And do Q for them. And then, Drummy Man from Southern Culture on the Skids.
Yeah, Bill. Hartman.
Bill.
Hartman.
Dave, John,
yeah. Big Danny, Joe, Jesse.
No, no, seriously, it's,
Willie?
No. Look at old Willie Hartman.
Bobby.
It's in the diary.
Yeah.
And, we nice had, people. You know,
Alex.
Now, Tom thought he had got too much fucking chow. Oh, yeah, there was something at this gig we had thought of. We want Lou. Lou had done a version of Black Sheep, and so had Tom. But Lou's version won.
Well, because I did another version of another song, I guess they kind of...
This was a thing called Our Band Could Be Your Live, a compilation of people doing Minuteman songs. And Lou did one, Black Sheep. So, in the practice pad, at Jenny's pad, downstairs, we work it out.
Yeah.
And the next day, we're going to play... final North Carolina gig in Charlotte at a place called Neighborhood Theater, a place I never played before. I had bourbon pork chops next door.
Bourbon.
I think the most money I spent on a chow for this tour was $12. And it was good. In that gig, we play Black Sheep, and Lou Barlow comes out on stage and sings it with us. He doesn't play, he sings. I think we played it after...
We had the wrong order. We didn't have the correct order that night. What I mean is we had it in a different order that night.
I thought the fucked up order was after the recording.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe
yeah,
you're right.
It was Cambridge.
Yeah, or the Total Space.
That was a hard gig. We'll get to that one.
Well, yeah, holding on to that one. Yeah, hold on to that one. Hold on, boys.
Hold on. Let me think about that.
Well, the day off was good because we could also think about the recording a little bit.
Yeah, me and Tom went down and
practiced. Oh, yeah, we ain't talked about this. Every day in the boat, we would listen to the Tard demos.
Yeah, with practice place.
Practice pad. We had drum and guitar laid down. And because we had to beat these songs into the brains.
Into submission.
Hammer the mind out.
Yeah.
What are you doing, my old pissing? Yeah. Maybe this is a good time for music.
The down pain is still out there. The down pain is still out there. He told him, he actually told him, let him have that. Anything wrong, he told him. Yes, he told him, it's just a song. Fighting with the damn thing doesn't have anything wrong. Fighting with the damn thing doesn't have anything wrong. The damn thing is about that. killer. He's a killer. It makes you laugh. He's a killer. He's a killer. It makes you laugh all the time. He's a killer. He's a killer. Or else he wouldn't have any intelligence at all. He's a killer. He's a killer. You can have anything you want. You told him. You told him. He said it's cool. Cool, cool. He made it possible. He made it sign my name. All the time in the bells were. The damn thing. The damn thing is about them. The damn thing, the damn thing is still out there. The damn thing, bending the bushes down, but left it in the wind. The damn thing, coming to get you, but left it. Be your friend. The damn thing is louder. The damn thing is louder. He told me, yes, he told me there's no one, anything wrong. He told me. Yes, I told him that I'd never do anything wrong. It's just a song about the damn thing. Is what? It's not still out there. It's in the room with you.
Took his seat on the foreign train. He thought it pleasant to travel again. Mindful of the journey's end, he read again the letter from his friend. The seat was hard, the carriage fetid. Your dress was summer, but still it is fetid. It was better than being at home, being the cold, living alone. People spoke in French, despite the school days it made no sense. Occasional stares caught his eye, he was tempted to smile. But when he looked through the window for the thousandth time, he saw a black horse fighting for its life. Barbed wire fence, place of 18, the more it's funneled, the more it's funneled. He turned away, what could he do? The other window had a nicer view.
From Peter's show, we've found the correct spelling of this town.
Ogallala.
Spelled
O-G-A-L-L-A-L-A.
There's two L's.
Actually three, but they're two next to each other in the middle, and then one at the end before the last day.
Yeah.
O-G-A-L-L-A-L-A.
O-G-A-L-L-A.
Sounds like a spelling.
Nebraska. Okay, and you just heard The Wire with The Other Window, and before that
was Robert Dodepin.
Taj Mahal with Ain't That a Lot of Love, and before that was
Oops.
The Damn Thing by Rocky Erickson. What we're playing you is music that we've been listening to in the boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tastes.
Tidbits.
Huh?
Just little bits, because we went through three or four hours of Rocky.
Yeah, yeah.
The consecutive hours.
In a train?
Yeah.
Okay, we've reached the end of the first hour of the May 17, 2009 Watt for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. May 17, 2009 in Ogallala, Nebraska. It's hour two of the Watt from Pedro show, and continue our little retrospective of this Prak and the Third Opera tour, 2009. Mike Watt and Miss Man. We talked about the Charlotte show. This is the first show that Lou Barlow comes and joins us. And singing Black Sheep. And then we conked at a lady named Sarah's house. But to get to her pad, we had to pass a pad called Chasers.
We wanted to stop, boy. We wanted to stop.
What was on the sign? Some
fresh meat.
Fresh meat. Check out our fresh meat.
Check out our fresh meat. M-E-A-T.
M-E-A-T.
Or, no, it might be come meet our boys or something.
Yeah, cut bull with M-E-A-T.
Come meet the boys or something, yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
So, I remember she called it Hit and Run or something by getting the beers at that store. She had a phrase for that that was interesting. She does sewing, embroidery or something.
She has silk screening.
That silk is screening. Screening, yeah.
She has a little thing, like Rob does.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then we go to Virginia. We go to Richmond, and a place downtown called the National, kind of a fancy theater. Like
another big old theater.
Yeah. Hot tub. But different kind, fancy.
Hot tub backstage.
There was a hot tub backstage. They had a big backstage. There's many rooms.
Pool table.
And, I mean, we didn't do any of that, but that's...
I took a hot tub.
You were in the hot tub?
Yeah, when Dinosaur was sound checking, I because it's kind of in their side.
Right,
you know,
before you hit the masseuse.
Then I got the hot tub.
That's right. Tom threw money for rubs.
I needed it, man. That was a knee problem. There was a problem there.
Well, I know. Maybe in Houston is when that knee thing happened. Because you hadn't had it in a while.
Yeah.
And she worked it out. What was her name? And what was it? Dollar a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And this gig was very tough. The monitors were squealing the entire time.
Yeah, you ended up just using the microphone.
This was another example of like sound, like high quality sound system, and why it doesn't work.
Pilot Air.
Why they can't just have voice coming through the little speakers.
It was just a lot of problem. I don't know. But I still think it was a good gig, in a way. That was like comedy, because it was so over the top bad. It was squealing. It wasn't like you couldn't just hear them. They were feeding back.
Well, we got the people on our with us on it. Yeah. They were with
the
us.
Crowd was
also
with
that
us.
Feedback with the drums, too.
Oh, yeah.
The low end.
Yeah.
Because we guarded the entire sound.
They left Murph's kit up, and the mics were...
Because we had a plan where... Because this station was big enough, we could set up in front of him, and Lou was going to do Funhouse with us. He actually did the sound check with us.
Murph.
Not Lou. Lou would come on to sing Black Sheep with us again. And it was still a good gig. I liked it. And it was in Virginia where I was born. We stayed with Brother Kyle's pad.
That was very cool. He made us sausages.
Maddox. Running around, jumping on the airbed.
Right.
He was
having a good time.
Yo, how many dogs?
Seven.
Yeah, how many cats?
That's six.
Lots of animals.
It was wailing. But go way back with Brother Kyle. He's put on gigs for me. He's a great, great cat, man. We had a good time there. Bean, he had a bottle of Jim Beam for us.
There's a morning after shot in the diary, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The beginning
of what? Was that week two or three?
The flattering breakfast shot?
Yeah.
The mouthful?
Or it looks like I got my wisdom teeth pulled.
I think that was there.
It was there.
And, because he cooked us up a good chow of eggs and lots of toast.
Yeah.
Lots of toast.
Lots of toast. Fiber's important on tour.
Yeah.
He's just a great cat, man. Good time. I saw cardinals in his backyard. I saw, what did he call it? Vibrant. He said vibrant. Because it was, yeah, the red was like intense. And I remember those when I was a boy. A lot of things about Virginia, but we went from there to
Lancaster,
Pennsylvania.
Amish country.
So we crossed the Mason-Dixon line. And, yeah, Amish country. Old U.S., it was like kind of the frontier when the country first started. And kind of Appalachia and old-timey.
Yeah.
Maybe bad chow across the street.
Got a little Mexican sick. Chow. Jay got a little sick, too.
Jay had to chuck. You? Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. It was a little hippie.
Hippie Max. Burrito.
Hippie
it
Max.
Was called Senorita Burrito.
Yes, Senorita Burrito, yes.
Right.
No, I mean, it tasted good.
The club was called Chameleon, and it was like three floors high and very old. A tin roof.
Yeah, kind of killer building there.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very sweaty. Probably the sweatiest of all the gigs.
That was a good gig for us, too.
There was a lot of humidity. Yeah, it was. It was great monitors. This cat, he's in the diary. His
in the Bible.
Name
is in the Bible. Tour Bible.
And then the front of the house man, too, is in the Bible. And he did great. Both those cats. And they were young guys.
Yeah.
They're very enthusiastic, very in the moment with us and helping us. And once again, Lou Barlow comes out and sings Black Sheep with us. But Murph also does Fun House with us for the first time.
He gets a phone call. He bailed out.
He got a phone call, that's right.
Everything was set up and he bailed out.
It had to be set up kind of way in the back because that was a tight stage,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he had a floor tom.
Floor tom set up that was mic'd.
Now, Andy comes. Andy's a man who gave me a bass last summer after my bass was stolen in Montreal. He came to the Toronto gig, gave me an Andy bass, which I didn't have because of broken nut. But
busted
he
nut.
Went and got a hotel for us.
Outside of town.
Yeah, no, just north of town. Because he had to go back to upstate New York.
Kind of tough to find for him.
No, it was tough to get out of town. Once he got on the right highway, he did it.
That's the same night you got that skateboard, too.
Are you pissing now?
No, I had to release. I had to be polite. I didn't want to peek out. It would have peeked out.
Yeah. That's
would
the spirit.
Would have peaked the BU meter.
All right, like that one.
We would have had some
time. All right. So that was a good gig for us. I remember after the gig, too, some cats. One guy was an art teacher for high school. He wants, named Bill wants to do something with him. Chris from Delaware brought a skateboard.
Yeah.
New Jimmy Connell.
Tape, custom tape.
Yeah.
I bought some good habanero times. Pickles across the street.
That's right. Those are great.
They're like kind of a street fair.
Yeah, they were having a street fair.
Or art walk.
It was great weather. You can tell those people that get beat down with cold and everything, so it was nice for them.
Yeah.
So we stay in a hotel that Andy gets us, maybe Country Inn.
Very generous.
Yeah. And left in the morning, we didn't even get to say thank you. And but I did an email later. He's a beautiful man. And then we go back across the Mason-Dixon line, but just across to Baltimore, Maryland for the last...
Dinosaur
gig.
The Auto Bar.
And it was at the Auto Bar. And I think that was a good gig, too.
That was a good gig, but we had to gear up for leaving early. Not early, we didn't
we
get
had to
the
leave right after
30,
the gig.
But, you know.
We didn't get on stage till late. So 183 miles from Baltimore to Brooklyn.
Did it sell out that? I think it sold out.
Lancaster.
So it was Lancaster, too. A lot of these gigs we were very well attended. We didn't get to see Dinosaur, but Lou came and played with us, and Murph did floor tom, and Jay played guitar.
Yeah, we got them all on the last gig.
But not together. Lou on Black Sheep, the other two on Funhouse.
Yeah.
Jay only had one stack on. Jay's playing with three stacks, and then an amp blast.
He was trying to hide behind your bass gear.
Right. But I turned on one of the another stack, so he was playing with two stacks, and did good. That was a sweaty gig.
But before Dinosaur went on, just before we left, we were all hanging backstage with them, which was kind of nice, because it was not often that they were all in the same room for us to hang with, you know. It's kind of nice to say goodbye to them then.
Yeah, that way. They were talking, and in fact, Lou comes up with a notion to have Raoul and Tom be in his touring band come in the fall.
We'll get together when we get back and see how that goes.
So that's a great thing. He also had the words "The Black Sheep" written on his arm again.
I think he tattooed them there.
Yeah.
Those are permanent.
He sang it great each time. He never spaced.
No pirouette, though.
And he wouldn't pirouette, but I would. And twirl. And he would just jump out there. He wouldn't be...
Yeah, he'd spring out of nowhere.
Yeah, he wouldn't be like, oh, here comes I Am Lou and all this.
Spotlight,
he'd just dive out, and then when the song was over, he'd dive back. It was really very theatrical.
Almost
and
scary.
Yeah, scary and great. He sounds so good playing with Jay. And Murph was playing really good, too. They just... All three of them playing so good. I really enjoy them. And that gig where we leave is the last gig of their tour. And then we make Hell Ride.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling off to get some cough, but man.
At the Sheets.
Yeah, it was called Sheets, and it was like 20 miles off the road. They don't put their pads right off the on ramps.
Yeah, they pull you into town. They want you to stay a while.
Yeah. So we get we ain't been talking about morning chows. We've been getting a lot of Subway.
Yeah. Well, there, we've more or less said it now. That's our job.
So we get up to Tony now. Tony's waiting for us in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg Park.
We get there
at Studio G's, 4:30 in the morning. It was a little rough, but then we put in the Suburban Lawn.
Yeah, that carried us through.
It was not rough, because you could not cock that.
Smoothed it all out. Woke us right up.
With belly laughs.
Yeah, well, the ride was fine. It was a bit rainy. We got some wind, but we got to Brooklyn, and then we had to load all
the
gear.
That's where the first bad weather comes on us.
Yeah,
the whole tour. Not really bad, but some rain.
Started raining.
Yeah, it was
right
just
out.
A taste going north.
Now it starts raining the next 3 days when we do the third opera. Tom and Raoul will record. We do 30 songs. First day was 10 songs. Second day, 17 songs.
The last three.
Last day, three.
And then Tom
did all his overdubs. Tom misses out on three songs.
One. One I need to add a song.
One all the way. One song had kind of a weak ending,
and another one needs a solo.
So three.
So.
That's why.
But they're not. They're not three songs. They're three. They're one song and two.
As far as overdubs.
Finishing.
As far as overdubs, didn't get all the overdubs at three were lacking.
Well, I had like 7.5 hours.
And one at the beginning, he did very good. And one of them, there was too much clamming in. The other one, it's just a taste thing. You could do. What happened was, we would always laugh in the boat listening to this motherfucker. We never thought of what we were really going to do when it came down to do it. You know, this ending had come up in this, you know, Segovia.
Early years.
Very early.
Extremely early, highly early.
Before he ever held a guitar years.
Before guitar was invented.
Right. And
before he had fingers.
It would crack us up, we'd laugh at this fucking thing.
Then it really came out.
Then it came out, we did not know how to end it, we never sat down.
Well, this was also like the 11th hour, you know, and Tony had to go to a gig and we're all...
No, I'm talking about preparing for this thing. We're listening to this thing every... Part of our ritual, starting off in the morning, driving to the next town, always listen to this and a few times every day. So we're hearing this fucking thing come up.
And we're trying to title the tunes as they come up. We've got to call out the titles.
Know the plots, the whole trip.
You know, the buggy whip.
Buggy whip. And, you know, just this one. There was another one that had this incredible fill, that drum fill. Notice we had no problem with that. But for some reason, we did not resolve the ending on the song. It was called...
Antler Man. Well, the thing I'll interject is that we didn't... At this point, we didn't have the time to dedicate to working it out, and we were all kind of...
We never even did. We could have.
But with the drums, we spent time to work those parts out.
Oh, time in the studio.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm talking about before we even got to the studio. We never even thought about this.
I know.
Can you believe this shit?
Give me the drum part. That's what I'm saying.
Because I played all... One day we played all the Six Creedence records.
Uh-huh.
And the way Clifford did some phrasing and fills, I explained to Raul that's what we should do instead of that stupid 5-0 shit. It was, remember?
Yeah.
Phrase, and that's what he ends up doing, phrasing. But we never even discussed. We was just laughing that motherfucker every time.
He was too perfect the way it was. Yeah. He's like, why change a good thing?
That's
man.
How it came out.
Well, now it's a little different, but
and the other solo out. Too.
Yeah, because I ended up.
What happens is we go out. For this was one of the early songs. I think it's a letter.
Beak holding Letterman.
Yeah, and it has this little solo part.
Like a 3-bar.
For some
solo.
Reason, Tom didn't want to do it in the same pass that he did the other guitar.
It's because I didn't. I wanted to keep flowing well, but, through and not stall at that point.
No, you also said this is the big deal because. This album has hardly any guitar. I think this is the guitar solo.
3 bars.
So you're wondering the Echoplex in on that.
That's my 3-bar
That's
solo.
That's right.
I'm going to use slide.
Oh, yeah. There was a part where Tom... I wanted like a Sanshin or Samshin part on Baby Cradlin' Dreamin'.
Yeah.
Evo.
And Tony Mamone breaks out Peter Lafner's Stratocaster.
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
It's an old red one.
Yeah.
Early 60s. Nice neck.
The night before we had a whiskey thing with him.
Yeah.
He told us the story, remember? Yeah. Bringing out the guns.
Very heavy.
We had a whiskey thing, let me put it that
What'd
way.
What'd you do? You stuffed foam under the strings, right?
Yeah.
To kind of get that click sound.
But I mean, the strings were also way touching the pickups and
yeah.
stuff. There's really? Something going on, like they intentionally made
yeah.
it, like, flapping on there.
Anyway, it's a beautiful Strat. Red one, and it was Peter Lafner's, like one of the guys who started Paraboo. Actually, we found out later, there's a song before Peru was even a band that Tom Herman did called the Steve Canyon Blues. That kind of kicked off the whole trip. It was from 1972. And this would be part of our ritual too, playing this right after Autumn Leaves. Maybe we should play that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come now, after all, never known this till now, till now. I've never known this till now. I've never known this till now. I have never known this till now. I've been told in my life's history just what my love would mean to me, but I've never known this till now, till now. I've never known this till now, till now. Never known this till now.
From Pedro Show. Started that chunk off. Oh, fuck, sorry. I had to stop the monitor. Started that chunk off with
Steve Canyon Blues
by Tom Herman. And like we were saying, this is a prototype Proto Ubu. But Tony, this is a great thing, getting to make that album with Tony. Now, me and D Boom went and saw a Modern Dance tour. Late 70s with Paraboo, but it blew our minds. And to get to make a record with this guy. And he not only did that, he lets us stay at his conch pad right above. Best situation to record with. And get to hear stories and stuff. We said they actually played Steve Canyon Blues live. Then we heard the Wipers with Wait a Minute off their first album, Is This Real? And Tom wasn't really hip to Wipers. Yeah,
I mean, right. I know the Wipers. I know their history.
When I was playing you Wipers on the boat, you were tripping on them.
Yeah,
It was like Tom had the new ears for Wipers. I've been listening to them for years and years, and I just love them. But Tom dug on it. It kind of tripped him out how they took this one thing and just...
Well, I love repetition.
Wrote it out.
I'm into repetition, so...
Hence the third song, I've Never Known This Till Now, by Rocky Erickson.
Yeah.
Tom thought those two would go together. We hear a lot of Rocky in a boat. Okay, where were we last? We were making the record.
Yeah.
Making the opera.
Finishing up the guitar tracks.
And right. The dilemma of not having an end for Antler Man. Not having a rhythm guitar. One where we really blew the water out of the water for the rhythm guitar track was Hellbuildin' Man. That had a lot of changes.
It's not... It wasn't a hard thing. It was just that it was the final...
Your brain
track of these 3 days of playing guitar, and then it was 11 at night, and
went out of time.
Just attention and everything was.
And the other
Tony had to go, but it ended up he didn't even have to play.
No,
because
I know. After all, I could have taken a 45-minute rest and come back and done it.
Yeah, you could have done it the next day either, but we're going to do it later. It was only 3 out of 30. We're talking 10%, so it was pretty good, and we got good drum tracks on all of it. I think it was a major, major success. Then we went. And drove east, our most eastward gig in Cambridge, which is part of Boston.
T.T.
School part. T.T. the Bears, I played many times. This gig was kind of rough because the 3 days of spending recording.
We got rusted.
Yeah.
It was my most.
Tom says it was his worst gig of the tour.
By far. To me.
We got lost the order of the Minuteman song.
My playing wasn't there. Kicked the chords out, you know, the whole thing, the orchestration, the choreograph was all wrong, costume change.
Oh yeah. I can't remember the bands with us. Damn it,
I remember.
Ketman
and AM Stereo.
Ketman and AM Stereo,
both local.
And we lucked out, we got a good park in early. Tom risked his life. Some dude gave him some hell.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. That bunk.
That bunk.
That's bunk. Well, I said, hey, man, you know how it is. What are you going to do?
You got to do what you got to do.
It's all good.
Yep. It's bad.
It's all bad.
He's out of there. And nice people there at the club and nice cats at the gigs, but it was rough for us to get back into tour mode. People say it's hard to play every day. Man, it's hard to have days off.
It's harder not to play.
Yeah, they were very understanding.
For sure.
Okay. So, but I think we bounce back with a great gig the next day in Hoboken. We drive west, cut across. This is bad weather comes on us. Actually, the Cambridge gig, we had sun and everything. We conked at
Alex's
pad.
There was some cognac.
Yeah, cognac.
Wine.
Very expensive bottle.
Well, that's
wine with wax over the trip.
Yeah, that's usually a... highbrow kind of thing. Highbrow.
Yeah, well, I just swigged that shit.
Guzzled that thing.
It's all the same to me.
You know, I
talked them down. They were into it. They were into it. I can't remember his buddy's name, but he was tripping.
Dan came too.
And Dan came. That was a weird situation where we had said yes to two different people, didn't know. So I felt bad, so we brought Dan with us. And he had a good time. We all had a good time. Alex had brought us falafels. Oh, righteous man. Gave me an anchor for my necklace, which is the exact one I got the last opera tour with Nels Klein and Bob Lee at T.T. the Bear, where somebody just handed me that one. And it got lost in London about 3 or 4 years ago, and I got this replacement one. Well, Alex gave me the exact... I don't know. He didn't know. It was total coincidence. Yeah. Okay, so then we drive west to... we should talk about how we drive.
Yeah.
We have this Navigator made by Garmin. It's a Nuvi 265T. It has voice.
Dr. Nightmare.
Actually, we tried this...
The Elf.
Elf one.
Yeah.
That baby didn't last maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
It wore on us heavy.
Maybe one day.
He's gotten lost a couple times, but... 95-98%. He's done good.
He's had the toll roads.
Sometimes he spaces out and doesn't tell you the cheering change is coming.
Yeah, right.
And it might just be a satellite thing. It might be a change in their whatever road system.
The magic book's closed.
He sometimes
got to keep going back to his magic book.
You know.
In fact, it was funny. at the farm in South Carolina, we're talking to the light man. He's talking and gets to the subject. Yeah. And he knows that voice.
Well, I was doing sound check when I go, follow the highlighted rod.
I know that man.
But who said magic book?
Yeah. Consult. Let me consult my magic book.
So anyway, this baby puts us in. We had some plug driving there. If you know I-95, there's a little bit of rain, but not bad. We get
going through Manhattan.
We do the George Washington Bridge. You get over to Hoboken. Luckily, find parking really close, which is impossible the way Maxwell's is. And then the sky opened up. Yes. This Wayne was a whaler.
Well, we opened the door of the van. It's just...
This was a whaler, man. I mean, on the drive, it started coming a little in Connecticut, but not bad.
It's like, we can run, like, what, 10 steps to the club door? No, drenched.
And I went to Todino's. I got this slice of pizza that was huge. You could, like, wear it as a poncho.
Yeah, or like
horror movie makeup.
Well, it's kind of like a face. Road like you replace rash. Your face with it or something, like leather mat, leather face, that kind of thing, or, you know, Silence of the Lambs.
You could use it for a sheet, for a double king bed.
Yeah.
Totally.
You could have a parachute, you know, for...
You know when they do the termite thing and they got to cover the pad, tent the bed.
Building.
Pizza you could use one of these slices.
You could use one of those for like a re-entry for one of the, you know, the Apollo capsule things, you know, come back into orbit, whatever.
Who's this guy? Cristo. Yeah, he puts the fucking blankie on an island or something.
Oh, yeah, Cristo. Yeah, Cristo. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta use one of these slices.
Yeah, he did, in fact, in the old days. This is this before I used that...
Todino's on Washington. Anyway...
Did the Reichstag.
Who played with us?
That was Mad Happy.
Man.
Mad Happy trip.
The duo.
That was a trip.
Pregnant.
Very entertaining in a strange, bizarre kind of David Lynchian kind of way. Kind of early Lynchian.
And Steve Shelley was there.
Sandy Yang.
Sandy Yang came. That was great. Caroline Tom's lady. She told me when I got him in Silver Lake, 3 weeks is the limit I can do without Tom. So she comes and flies over. So it's a special gig for her. Well, Thirst for me, comes.
Dezo
comes. So a lot of old faces. And,
Staten Island.
Staten Island John with a bad neck.
Smokey Hormel.
Jimmy. It was a good gig,
a lot of
man.
Good people.
Suzanne.
It was probably a good gig not to stink it up because we had a lot of friends. John and Yellow.
Yeah.
Good gig. And monitors weren't that good, but it didn't matter. In fact, monitors were pretty bad at this gig. The sound was pretty bad on stage.
We went for it.
They got air conditioning, and it wasn't as sweaty as all the old Maxwell.
Yeah, because you're kind of trapped in the back of this building, you know, this little room.
Yeah.
There's no outlet.
But they got that under control. They got to get a better monitor thing, maybe. But we didn't care. I don't know. Maybe it was our friends being there.
I think a girlfriend had something to do with it.
Yeah, so we just played great. Good. Well, I liked it. I liked the band did good. And the crowd, you know, all the crowds... The people coming to the show has really been helping us.
Very. That's what did it for me at that show.
No chin stroking and like analyzing us. They get into it and they support us. Help us along.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets rough. Now, next day.
Jim Dunbar was there too.
Well, we conquered Jimbo's pad.
Yeah, he came with
his wife.
Tom goes to Brooklyn, but me and Raul go.
Cameron.
No, they're moving to a new apartment, so we're.
But his wife's name's Cameron.
Yeah, and Lily Kate came. Their daughter, first rock gig ever. But they go to their new apartment, so me and Raul go to the old one that they're moving out of.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
Way uptown, though. That's like, we're talking...
218th.
We had to find parking.
Near Columbia.
The worst nightmare was the next night coming from Mercury Lounge. This one, we did the George Washington Bridge, and a little rough fight in parking. We tried a place, we saw the sign, we weren't going to get towed, so... We find an indoor parking. We go and we conquer Jimbo's. Very calm day. The next day, we take FDR to Lower East Side where Mercury Lounge is.
Meet up with them.
That's where the Light Boys come. Yeah. They have been recording 3 days in Maryland. Their first U.S. gig ever. Tokyo Band Light. And I take them to Katz's. They couldn't believe the size of the chows. Big Okiniku.
And the size of the bells coming out of there. Wow. You know, the food carrying...
Well, I think
carrying,
you could understand that.
The food carrying devices.
Satchels.
Poncherelli.
So, Miss Elizabeth came with the baby, a new shipmate coming, and little Catherine.
Catherine.
Right. She remembered Tom.
Oh, yeah.
It is great to see her again. So we play with the... But what I'm saying is, it was very easy going down FDR, but to, like, get ahead of myself here, going back was a nightmare. There was a plug there. But first, let's get back to the gig.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
No, Friday night.
Friday night, Manhattan.
Sold out.
Sold out gig.
Tony comes. No pressure.
Too many. It was a lot of pressure for me.
Tony brings Mary.
John DeVries.
Yes.
John DeVries opened up the gig for Magic Pop. Middle band was had George Burst from
Cahoots,
Martha's Vineyard.
Chris Brokaw played guitar in the last
Jay
tune.
Maskus in the Fog. I played with him 8 years, 9 years ago. Yeah. Chris Brokaw. Couldn't get through on the phone to Tom, but could play with Cahoots. Was he trying to call you?
I called him. From Boston. Cool. I spoke with him.
Yeah, I saw him at Thurston's band, too.
Yeah,
solo band. And a lot of gigs with Talia Zedek.
$2 guitar.
Yeah, $2 guitar. Good guy.
Good guitar player.
Like, there was a lot of friends at that gig, and we ended up doing good. I didn't play that well, this gig.
I didn't either, man. Mm-hmm. It was a weird one.
I didn't blow it out of the water, but I could have played a little better. I don't know what was wrong with me.
Maybe a little...
You did it really good.
Maybe there's a little pressure that night.
Maybe. Yeah, but I know people were there.
Not normal, like, nervousness. I mean, we don't get nervous, but...
No, but every so many gigs, I do have a choke kind of thing, but, again, the people shook me out of it. The band shook me out of it. Band
it
played well together.
Too. It was a late night.
And, I know it was late, but I still thought we did pretty good. I could have done better. I'm not blaming the band. I was just me, myself. And then going home was a nightmare because they shut down that FDR for construction that didn't exist.
We got shoved in that plug.
Finally get home like 3:30, 4:00. Bring the light guys with us. They're following us by Gazoto-san. They're doing the next 5 gigs with us. Great. You know?
Their first game
good,
in the United States.
Great success. People love them. Next day, we got to leave Manhattan and go to
Philly.
North Star Bar. A place called North Star Bar in Philadelphia. And Tom takes trains. Tom meets up with us.
Yeah, actually, I got there so quick. Well, not so quick. It was an hour and 15 minutes.
I know, but...
But
consider
how far it is in Manhattan and, like, all the variables and things that can happen and meeting up and all that.
Made it.
It worked out good. Caroline and George and Edward helped me do that.
Way parking is with those boats and no chow pad, so we finally stopped to chow in New Jersey. Turnpike, one of them service area things, and the light guys go and chow these big booger fling.
Yeah, some Burger King and some chili dog.
No, that was okay, the Natans.
Although chili...
Akinori did that, but the other 4 guys who did that, the next day, they paid their bodies, I mean, just to get used to the U.S. chow, and then not the best of the U.S. chow.
Cuisine.
Even the Katz's, you know, that was too big and heavy and different from their own chow, but it wasn't all greased up like
that
booger
quality,
fling.
It was good quality, you know.
Booger fling? Not good.
No, Katz's.
Yeah, it's great. Great. No, I ended Katz's up finishing off every
quality.
One of their sandwiches. I couldn't hang. Not to admit, used that big. But it was beautiful because it was their first experience and stuff like that. So, but with the chow, they learned because the next day, Remember, Kozo was very late much coming out of the banjo, and he yeah. said, much hard work. So I'm aiming at getting him myself. North Star Bar, this was a humid gig.
Yeah.
Humid gig. Not really hot in temperature.
Old bar.
And, yeah, balcony, like 3 feet from
right
your
there.
Face.
Yeah.
No monitors. Bad sound on stage.
But a good sound guy.
Great work guy. Hard. His name work is Mike. Hard. In fact, taught a rock class where he used Minuteman. Great guy, great people there. Slim, the boss.
Lauren.
Talked about the old days.
Dorley.
I had one guy that we never said was annoying, but he wanted to make sure we knew.
That was his deal.
I'm annoying.
So, love you long time.
Me love you long time.
What was his name?
Sorry.
He was a sweet guy. I actually saw us in Lancaster and came, drove down to see this yeah. gig. The opening band was called
American
Speedway.
Speedway.
And they're very nice because light guys had to use our equipment.
Yeah.
So we didn't have an extra amp for Kozo-san. So he came through. They're guys. The Coots guy came through for us in New York. Mm-hmm. Man. Oh, I got a ticket. These motherfuckers put street cleaning on the street midnight.
Oh, it was midnight.
On a Friday night. Just totally engineered to get
fishing big time.
The fucking revenue stream. Bunk. Anyway.
Beer bar.
That gig was a little tough, but the Philadelphia people were way into it. And so that helped. And we ended up getting a place in Fishtown Park with a guy named Vern and his wife, Jessie. And, yeah, I remember waking up and five young Japanese guys with masks. Tom got into the mask thing.
Well, because I also hit that allergy hit me.
Yeah.
You know, once I got
there was cats or neckos.
Yeah.
And
no,
in
Pittsburgh it nailed me.
They had called up friends in Pittsburgh. So we had a cockpit arranged.
I mean, this was our first night of arranging an 8-person sleep situation.
Yeah.
Of course, Jimbo helped out the first night, but...
Second night, too.
The second night in Philly, we had...
Second night was with the light guys. First night was just me and Raul.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
what I meant.
So
I just
that
meant
was
like the large number rather than just looking out.
It was all but just you. It was all just you.
I mean, once we met Vern and Jesse, they were very gracious
they
to
very
house
cool,
this
yeah.
large quantity of people in their home. You know, it was like 8 people. You know?
And they're still working on their house.
And so they
they're nice people. They're great cats. And then we go to Pittsburgh. We got to go across the state, but man, there is a plug. It's Mother's Day. And Philadelphia took us 2 hours. The town that would not let us leave.
Took us by the museum district, took us around this. Oh, my God.
Finally, we got out of town and across the Appalachians into Pittsburgh. And we're playing a place called Club Cafe. Which is kind of set up for a singer-songwriter.
Folky stuff, maybe. Yeah.
But Larry the Soundman finds a twin for Kozo-san. And... opening act is a guy who lives there and his lady Mo, Tom Tobacco. Mr. Tom, great man, and he had a weird concept as far as, I mean, he played his music, his old analog synths, great, lots of ideas all compressed, some strange film, but he wore masks. Him and Mo wore masks, and so did the label boss.
Great face.
Yeah, Ryan. Mr. Ryan wore an old man mask and sat there next to them, walked up there, sat next to them. So they had their gear on a table, you know, the way that kind of music is. You don't really wear it. And just sat there and watched them. That was a trip. And the light played and they did great and people loved them. We came out and played. Actually, very good monitors. You thought this was going to be a toy deal.
Yeah.
Because set up the way the
very monitor. Quiet sound check.
And up
Ed
a great
Ohio.
Game for us.
Yeah, Ed played.
Ed from Ohio is living there now. He plays Red and the Black and Funhouse with us. Now, we talk with these people.
Kelly.
Friends
Kelly
of Vern.
And Bill.
And Bill, yeah.
And Jesse called Kelly and, you know. Bill. And a friend named Frank brings over some whiskey, scotch, and that one had different floors.
We're sleeping by then.
We're on the fourth floor.
Yeah. But I was on the bottom.
Yeah. No, there's a basement.
And there's a basement. That's where the head was. These were from the old mill workers, and they'd have to hose off to get them. Oh, steal toxins. Stuff off. Yeah.
So you go in the cellar entrance first.
Now, these people were going to be in this house long because they were buying one for $2,300. A whole house. Amazing. Good weather. Then drive over to Cleveland, still good weather. Get there early to the new grog shop. Well, it's 4 or 5 years now, but only second time I played there. And we're there very early because it's a short drive.
And we have a later show because we have an early show.
There's some, well, it's regular for us, but there was an earlier show. But my friend Demos had moved back from Arkansas, and he invites us over and cooks us some big old porks.
Yeah. And,
good chow.
At least pound slab each, something like that.
At least.
And these kids, Christos, Melina.
Melina.
A little
heavy. Yeah, you just spent the most time with them. Tell them about the... I mean, these were some intelligent...
Cute, smart kids. Yeah, way, way intelligent kids.
One might be an actress, right?
I mean, Christos... I don't know how old they are.
Christos was pissed off because I spelled his name wrong in the last diary entry. Yeah. I mean, this guy was
2 years old. Three, you know,
not even that. He's a little... Like Jerry's holding him. He's a little baby. Or I'm holding him. Anyway, so yeah, I'll go and change the spelling for him. But no, what was the little skit she put on?
I'm half hillbilly.
Oh, she was like 4 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hillbilly. And then she has to get herself into mind. She has to go into the method acting mode, and she comes out and goes,
"Hi, y'all. Pa, can I have some milk?"
And it was pretty convincing, and she would go through this a couple times, and it was really good. Really, like, wow.
I think I was, like, playing with my own shit at 4.
Yeah. Which is so, like, method acting, you know? So it's just kind of deep, diving deep.
And I remember some old AC/DC on the TV and...
blaring.
Anyway, we go back to the gig to go do it, and the opening act is Light again, of course. And they play really good. I go to the boat and I conk. And, yeah, I had some weird-ass dreams.
That was a weird night for me, too, because I fell asleep and I heard their last couple songs.
Yeah, they were
sound check, and then people are clapping, and it didn't register to me, like, oh, maybe they're playing a gig.
But Bob Teague and Chris Mel showed up, and they're filming it.
And John
I didn't Pickens. Play that well. This was a hard stage
awful
sound.
Awful sound on the stage.
I think we all had a hard time that night. It came off, people liked it, but it was a hard one on stage.
Difficult. Yeah. Uncle Ray was there. He comes home with us to Demos, Pad. And there's a hot tub.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I jumped in immediately.
Right, Tom and Brother June with me. Mm-hmm. Us three, you couldn't get that many in there at
once.
Oh,
yeah, don't tempt me, sir.
But we were in there a long time.
Long time.
Outside, okay, but and kind of cool, but because of the water hot and bubbly, it was a trip.
Ticking your trip. Fancy.
And I had some, the way the bubbles on the bottom of the feet was good for me.
That was great. It was fantastic.
And Brother June had hurt his back. In fact, making the first walk, remember that, from the parking structure?
So Jimbo's
bass player's hurt.
Yeah. These are young guys. He's 25. The other guys are 27, 28. But he had hurt his back earlier, and so it was tough on him. They never whine, never complain. Those These guys, you wouldn't believe their spirit. Great cats, Light. Nobuyuki, Akinori, Kozo, Jun, and then their...
Kasudo.
Staffer man.
Kasudo.
He calls Cisa Staff. He's a great cat. Oh, they all five of them are. I love them to death. They took me on a tour maybe 15 months ago where I got to play small towns in Japan besides the big ones. Now, the next day we got to drive not too far across the state to Detroit, to Toledo, again to Detroit. And great weather, California weather. We're playing under St. Andrew's Hall. Get there kind of early. And it's called Shelter. And, it could be trippy, okay, the way this is set up. But the sound man, this cat, Eric, was it Eric? He was so into it, man.
He was good.
That was great sound. Opening band was Downtown Brown.
Yes.
Before Light.
They did Minutemen.
Light
song.
Played great. Yeah, they played Cheerleaders.
King of the Hill. They had the Golem.
Cheerleaders, I think. No, it was King of the Hill.
Yeah.
You're right, Tom. Yeah, the Golem. What about that dude?
That was a trip.
The loincloth.
Well, yeah, he had one costume.
He was a horn player. He's an alto sax player.
Tenor?
He was a little one, and he was little.
Oh, maybe he just looked little.
He was an alto.
Maybe he just looked big.
Yeah, because he was a small man. He's a very nice guy. He talked to me, but he went stripped down to this loincloth with a Golem mask. He's trippy.
Yeah. Kind of outdid us.
So when he wasn't playing, he'd be going in the crowd and stare at his band. Totally weird.
Yeah, that was a... So we did good at that gig, I thought.
Thought so, too.
Now, by this time, I'd lost Chicken Head Knob to my bass. Okay. Is that the one... No, yeah, that's the one where I forget to bring in my bracelet, I forget to bring in my Coltrane pen, I forget to bring in the shoes. Raul has to go
back and forth.
Yeah, back and forth. Man, it was so ridiculous. Like an asshole. After the gig, we followed Bob Tegan very high speed, maybe 25, 30 miles an hour on the freeway.
Small amount of miles, too.
Very small amount. We go to Fraser Park and talk to his dad. Right away, the Tenko comes on for Hiroshima.
And it's a video. Too. It's a video.
Yeah, this
big screen.
This was weird because we're with the the Japanese brothers, and he brings on this sushi that is like in a tray thing that they used to like. Whoa. I think when the Goodyear blimp, they have to keep it down. You know, you tie the rope.
And these were the weights.
Yeah, well, the ballast. The thought though. The thought was.
I know.
It was.
Considerate.
I looked at their face. It was Mizzoui, man. It was Mizzoui for me. I couldn't believe this shit. So bad. It wasn't Bob's fault. No, Bob's beautiful. What was good was what Chris and Mel brought. They brought these vegetables. Broccolis.
And there was a fruit.
And the peppers.
And the fruits. Yeah, and the peppers. And they were
great. I think
great.
Bob got the fruits.
Oh, Ryan was there, too, from Columbus. And that's the last gig. They did three gigs with us. Next day, we got to drive.
Well, but that morning at 5:30, I get up and say goodbye to the Light. That was our last gig.
And you had that nightmare.
I had the nightmare.
And they left at 5:30 in the morning.
Light had to fly back home very early. And I had a big mare. Fuck, it was terrible. I thought I had fucked up them flying home, not getting them or something. God, that was terrible.
You were all naked except for your jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta be telling you, I gotta be saying, during the day I just wear the coat Ronnie gave me, no shirt underneath. For the gigs I've been wearing this blue flannel I got in Brighton,
England. Air freshener.
And man, sometimes, very bad smells. But Bob Tegan had a washing machine. And, in fact, he loves this washing machine so much, he likes it talking to him. Yeah.
So that's the dryer.
He will not burden it with grease. Oh, it was a dryer. That's right. He really likes the dryer.
He likes the sing-song whistle.
Man, is that a tone or what?
Well, it went on for hours.
That was a tone.
Sorry.
You pissing?
Yeah.
All right, that's all right. Fuck.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, right. And now we gotta go to
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, across the state, Michigan.
Across the mid.
And this is where the rain comes on us. The rain comes on us, and it gets kind of heavy in Grand Rapids.
But we load in a little window.
But we get it in right. A place called Billy's Lounge. It's set up in a bad way. It's in the corner of the stage and there ain't enough power. But Soundman was really nice, but you couldn't much to do about this. I had a great gyro across the street. Brian Bowe was there, a guy who wrote a piece for K.O. in the New Stooges book. His wife was in one of the opening bands. I think one band was called Deep Couch.
And then Valoras after that.
And Valoras, she was in. Yeah.
Drummer.
And you guys had Mexican Chow, right?
Right next door.
Spine?
No, that was last night.
Spine, no. The guy cooked up a big spine.
Oh, the spine.
Yeah, it was a big spine.
Called me S.A.
Yeah, we got some homies there, too. Some more homies.
That's right. We got to mount those. Look. We're at the end of the second hour. May 17, 2009. Watt for Peter Show. Hold tight for hour three. May 17, 2009. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Dream.
Watford Pedro Show, third hour, started off with Agitpop doing Freebase Dream. Then we had a live version of the Blow Up. I don't think there ever was an album version.
No.
Television. The old days television. And then Per Ubu with On the Surface from Dubhausen. Okay, continuing on with our tour spiel.
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids was a tough gig. Bad sound on the stage. And but really, really enthusiastic people. It was packed house. And, yeah.
We got some rain.
Some rain coming out. In fact, this is where Raul gets his drums tossed.
The drums bill.
Yeah, why don't you talk about it?
Not too much to say.
Well, if they weren't there, they'd have to hear about it.
This very enthusiastic doorman trying to help out. Kind of grabbed too much at one time and took a dive into the water.
Well, there was pouring rain, and so we found like a little moment to try to load out. It was still raining, but it wasn't as bad.
So I think he kind of over-hustled and hustled
a little bit. And it's hard to carry three drums like the way he was carrying them.
Yeah.
He should have grabbed the handles.
He didn't know, so it's okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, but these unfortunate things. Drums in soft cases, you drop them, they can be really screwed up. Just
anything, any kind of case.
Yeah, so that was kind of lame. But it was not intentional, and the guy was trying. Like I said, tough gig, but...
It was good, though. So
okay.
I liked the gig, personally.
Yeah. It was good. For me, the sound was so bad, I couldn't hear.
Your voice has gotten pretty bad at that point, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We hadn't started doing the hot tea yet. That was the next day in Chicago. It's where I got the tea. We drive... The rain lets up. First we stay with Rick and Jessica.
Mustard plug guy. Bass mm-hmm. player.
Not too far away. And that was a nice time there.
Brief.
Yeah, yeah. Drive away. Rain all gone. Chicago, beautiful weather. Whoa. Easy drive. We did get up way late in Gary. We got a little trip, a little tour of Gary. Same thing happened to us when we were going to Cambridge. We got off the road in... Bronx. I took, got to have some insightful sightseeing of the real.
Yeah, under the train track kind of thing.
Yeah, the dirt behind the U.S. Daydream kind of thing. And that was the Jackson 5 is from Gary.
There's some blight going on. Ooh, Gary.
Heavy. And we saw some houses and people living.
Wow. The windows.
So we get to Chicago and we play a place I've never played before called Shuba's.
It's an old beer hall from Schlitz and like 100 years old.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that old
building.
It's 100 years old.
Kind of fancy town.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's called Lakeview.
They cleaned it up. Nice.
We were told it was going to be like a sports bar, but it wasn't like that at all. Like, the band plays in a room like a chapel.
It's an old beer hall. I guess they'd have, like, a community. Like, that's where people get together, you know.
What happened was, sound check was all right and stuff. A guy named Joey doing the sound, great cat. But when it came time to play,
the vocal, right?
And it was packed. No, his friend Steve does. He's the monitor man. He said Peak stole his heart. But when it came, a band called The Nuns played, N-O-N-E-S.
Their third gig.
And there was some cats who worked there. And I actually didn't see it because I conked in the boat really hard.
We got some tea going.
It was a hard gig for me. I got all weirded out and I wrote one of my friends about this, and he's from Catalonia, from Valencia, so his English isn't this good, so he asked me what I meant by, what did I say?
Hissy fit.
Yeah, hissy fit.
I think that's the terminology, the correct terminology.
Maybe I should read the thing exactly, so I don't fuck it up. The terminology. Well, it's what I use. Here we go. I threw tiny hissy fit last night privately on side of stage with my men. So, you know, make you people listen to the show who have good English skills.
Maybe an insight into code language, yeah. Too. Slightly coded.
Yeah, it was kind of primarily because of the way Raoul positioned his body. But it was just a go off. And
well, it was the
I was
after
feeling
the
bad
last
about
song.
My.
Was it after the last song?
No, it was before the last
song. No, it was
before the
last
song. Song.
Because
before
the last song.
Before
ends
our
up.
Encore song. I guess that is the last song. But what I mean is last song of the set.
But whatever. I was embarrassed and ashamed of terrible behavior. It wasn't actually to the crowd stuff. Actually, there was a very strange version of Funhouse because of it. But also what resulted in it was a strange version of Little Johnny Jewel. And Tom liked it.
You can find it.
It's on YouTube.
You said you liked it?
I loved it.
It was Tom's favorite version
one.
We did.
I apologize and all that shit. And then we went over to Mr. Ryan's, who was the gray-faced cat who was sitting watching
tobacco.
Look, just because you have a band doesn't give you the right to act like an idiot. So it was very embarrassing, and I was felt very terrible to my guys and explained, pleaded with them to forget all what I said and what I did and all that. And
we made
give me another chance. So we go to Mr. Orion's in a park called Norwood Park, which isn't far from the city, but man, it's a part of Chicago I never saw. It reminded me of like suburbs, but it was too close. It was kind of by the airport. And he likes Mad Balls.
Eat like anything creepy.
Garbage Pail Kids.
Garbage
Pail.
Halloween decorations all year round.
Yeah.
Bangs.
He's a trippy guy. Great guy.
Has a label.
And Tom and him ate, Gray Face. In fact, Black Moss, Super Rainbow, and Tobacco are in it. And he ate ice cream in Kahlua with Tom.
I crashed out.
Where he found the rum that Mr. Tom had left.
Who was
the other Tom? A different Tom.
Tobacco.
Yeah, Tobacco Tom.
And man, well, that was bad tasting. But he
that was the mane and tail.
That was in the morning.
Pomegranate.
I found a shampoo called Mane and Tail, and then another one called Glossy and Volume.
Glossy Volume.
Those are trippy concepts.
Sounds like British.
Now we had a lot of gray, not so heavy gray, but a lot of gray on our next ride to all the way through Wisconsin to Minneapolis.
That was a big one.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, that was the start.
And because we're heading west, so the drives are bigger. I get some curds.
The Cajun curds.
Cajun spiced curds. And we're playing 7th Street Entry. I've played there many, many times. Conrad's there to greet us.
For
many years.
Steve McClellan.
Don't see Steve McClellan the whole time, which is the first time for me in a long time. Forever. We play with a band called Leisure Birds and Mr. Grant Hart, drummer for Husker Du. Also showing up as bass player for Husker Du, Greg Norton, drives up from Red Wing. Great sound on stage. Great sound.
Pretty fun show.
And there was nothing Joey could do in Chicago. You know, that thing was under power. The way the stage was like a cupboard, a standing wave just set itself up in it.
It was a new
here,
board, too.
The way,
getting used to it.
Huh?
It was a brand new board. I think the first time he worked it.
Yeah, but
there was some A.
I was told in the crowd it sounded great. And a lot of these gigs, the only one I was told it was bad sounding was Billy's Lounge in Grand Rapids, all the rest. And you gotta understand, in my opinion, the gig goers need the best sound more than the guys playing, because we get in for free. So back to the 7th Street, man. Ron's doing the sound and the way it's set up, and Betsy's there. I haven't seen her in a long time, and Nate, and a lot of old friends. That place has a big history. I've played hardly any other places in Minneapolis, except this place.
It's the only place I've ever played.
Yeah, I've played a couple others, like a Merstang.
Turf Club over in St. Paul.
Well, that's St. Paul. That's a good place to play.
You see a place called
Winning Cake. And the 7th Avenue people, 1st Avenue people put shows on there. Mm-hmm. They do.
It's on that list of shows.
Yeah. It's a good pat. Anyway, we do a great gig. Good, miss it, man. And Grant Hart and Greg Norton come and join us for the last song. And Grant, I guess Raul had it in his mind.
No, he had it in his mind.
No, in your mind, you wanted him to play Floor Time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or just that's usually.
That wasn't in his mind.
That happens, yeah.
What was in his mind?
He wanted to play the beat on Johnny Jr.
Mine.
Try to play the beat.
Double me.
And Greg Norton had to plug in. He used a Leisurebird bass plugged into Tom Watson amp. So
that was cool. That was fun.
That was his way of doubling it up.
Yeah.
Grant had another way.
Yeah.
So it was a success, big gig, and we conk not too far away in a part I'd never been to, but Prospect Park.
With the Leisurebird.
With Leisurebird drummer Alex.
But that was the first time that Greg and Grant had played together.
Yeah.
Since it was good news. In fact, Greg says it's the first time he saw him play drums.
Grant, 20 some years.
Grant's gig was basically him playing guitar and singing a lot of Husker songs that he wrote with Husker.
And some, like, gig banter, you know, like talking
about. A lot of banter. The little Skeletor.
Nuggets.
And, we go over to Alex's pad, and we had to blow his mind with some port and starboard in a boat. And Buddy Rich. Turn him on to Buddy Rich.
And swim team.
Oh, swim team. Yeah, he liked that.
All the essentials. Just the basics.
He liked the
Curlyisms.
Yeah. He liked it. The ideas floating around. And we were hitting them fast, too.
Fast and hard.
Hard. Fast. And we conk. And in the morning, wake up. And
wake up
my
early.
First bath, first soak of the tour.
The inch deep tub.
Yes, well, I think it was 3 inches.
Yeah, like a tray, you know, like
a developing bath tray. Yeah.
Petri dish.
Yeah, sort of like in a dark room.
Like a paint tray, like a roller.
That's right. And so I soaked a little bit in that, and then a trippy-ass coffee machine.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Italian style where you put it on the stove and it percolates. But this was plastic and it had like the
suction.
Electric kettle
base.
Yeah. Trip.
You know, it sucks the brain right down the brain stem.
Right down the brain stem. And then we had sun, but it's a little cool. It's a little windy.
Yeah, it's like 4 to 40.
And we got to drive to Omaha. But we're not going to go straight to Omaha. We're going to go to Red Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mr. Greg Norton lives and has a restaurant.
Norton's.
It's about an hour southeast.
Where Red
South
Wing
by southeast. Yeah, Red Wing. Yeah, that's where the shoes comes. On the Mississippi River. Part of the road is in Wisconsin.
Saw the llamas on the way.
Saw some llamas, right?
Very
then went to
dry.
His chow pad, and I had Saigon sub and pork belly.
I had the bowl of soup and the Norton's
what
BLT.
What kind of soup?
It was a bean soup, like a spicy bean soup.
Mm.
I didn't catch the actual name of it on the menu, but it was a spicy bean soup.
It's called the Norton's?
Norton's Downtown.
And I had a Norton's BLT, which
was very nice.
We went in the cellar.
I bought this bottle of wine, which I'm drinking
right
now.
Went Greg Norton's wine trip.
Here.
Oop. Hear that? You weren't supposed to hear that.
Baritone, I see.
That's kind of a tenor.
Yeah.
All right. And Greg Norton's got the idea. Dudes, I want to play with you tonight. He's going to drive 6 hours to Omaha. So we leave him. We go. Now, ain't no diagonal road. So we got to go to Des Moines. Des Moines. Des Moines.
Des Moines. Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Tom on the wheel.
That's where I switch over. When I get to Iowa, Tom takes the wheel, and that's the first time on the tour. Big drives in the west, so Tom's going to have to help me on the way out. And gives me the wheel back just before Omaha. before Council Bluffs, really. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Saw them old tractors. We stopped at that place.
It was a pretty long drive.
Yeah, it was.
7, maybe.
We get there, a Benson part of Omaha, place I'd never been to before, called the Waiting Room. And nice guy named Jeremy doing the sound.
Well, you wandered up to the window with the...
Yeah, with no shirt on.
I think they were like, shit, no, we're closed, mister. You know, no, you can't use the bathroom.
But he helps us get the riser off the stage. He's totally sweetheart. And,
trippy room.
These guys go and eat some Kettle
amazing tapas.
Yeah.
España.
Well, you brought me back some sausage.
Yeah, we got you a good little package.
Good. Very good. And opening bands are Omaha people called Third Man and Stay Awake. And yeah, somebody from Pedro was there, Francis, who knew us, me and D-Boone when we were younger. And I still haven't washed that flannel. Now, it's third gig now for this flannel. Jesus.
Well, but Greg did a set.
Well, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. I don't get the flannel on yet. And Greg's got a cue. Well, for some reason, I think it's because Tom came up with the name up for him, Angelico
Mysterioso,
that he wants to wear an outfit. He wears a China coat in like a ska hat and glasses, and gets out there and does acoustic jams. First a Bach thing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's an amplified acoustic bass.
Right. And then just jammed it around. Then he said he was going to twist it off and let it fly, and went on Ryle's drum set.
I did just that.
Right, well, and that was a cue for us to come on, and then he joined us with Surfing with the Shaw. Now, this was bad sound on stage. Oof. But again, you know, the people helped us out. I thought we did good. My guys played great. We get to the last song. We bring Greg out again. We do
Johnny Jewel.
This was like third strange Johnny Jewel in a row. Yeah. Little Johnny Jewel. And gigs of success. The guitar player man for Stay Awake, great band.
Steve
lives upstairs. He's got a buddy named Val. She said, we can conk there. He brings the boat to a garage.
His family's refrigeration.
Right. Like this would be the greatest thing. If all gigs, you didn't have to drive. You could put the boat there and conk upstairs, because this is what we get to do.
We roll, lock the van in the room with the roll down garage door and... Right upstairs, and perfect.
Get the fireworks.
Now,
laundromat built in.
Her and Greg go downstairs to some bar and get some Maker Mark for me.
I think it was Talisker. Single malt.
No.
Really?
It was bourbon. It was Maker Mark, they told me.
Oh, well, maybe Greg got something different for himself or something.
My thing was bourbon. I know, because I drank it and conked out. I was laid out on the couch as soon as I got there. I was kind of beat and tired. But nice people. These guys were on the roof. You could go on the roof.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice place.
Neat pad. Old building.
Used to be a doctor's office.
Right. And that leads us up to now, because we have another day off.
Ogallala.
Right, and this next gig is Denver tomorrow. So we'll change the oil in the boat tomorrow in Denver and play Larimer Lounge, a place I've never been to. Mm-hmm. And after that, we're going to go to Salt Lake City. That's a hell ride. It's over 500 miles. 530 miles.
In Boise.
We're going to play a place called Bar Deluxe. I think I played there once before downtown. Then we're going to go to Boise, Idaho.
Neurolux.
And play Neurolux, which I've played many times. One time we played there and got Tom in the morning, and we were driving out, and Tom said, wait a minute, and opened the hatch and puked in the bushes at the Jack in the Box.
No, but you kind of excluded the very important fact. I puked before I opened the hatch.
Yeah, but he kept the puke in his mouth.
I kept it in my mouth.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I just said,
no, because he's thinking of the boat.
I just pointed, pull off.
Courtesy.
No, you know how would kind of smell the boat would have had.
I didn't panic.
He didn't panic. He handled it very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
I'm
so after that, then we got a real hell ride to Portland, Oregon.
We haven't been able to calculate the hours.
And we're playing the pad in Portland, Oregon, that I've never played before.
Doug Fir Lounge.
Okay. We'll probably be staying with the people that host this radio show. Eric Dayton. It'll be at Eric Dayton's pad. Eric Dayton and Bill Jennings are partners of Siteworks.
That's right.
A great, great way to host a company that also streams this show. And they're beautiful people, and we'll probably talk with Eric. He's already put out an invite. Yeah. Saul Cole's an old... is he Manhattan Beach?
Well, this is a complex web of things.
Yeah, because he was Long Beach for a little bit.
Charms
with Bill.
For a little while,
Jerry Trepidich.
Weird little connection.
Jerry Trepidich.
I met Jerry.
Here's the thing, man. If you're going to talk shit or maybe whiskey spiel, you probably don't do it in a sleeping bag
after zipping it
all the way to...
after zipping it to the straitjacket mode.
Yeah. Unless, you know, you're confident in blocking head, most of the blows
or
with your face.
Or you're so fast with head movements. Extremely strong
Bob,
neck
Bob
muscle.
Weaver.
He wasn't. He wore him out, though. To Jerry's credit, he got him, the other guy, tired.
Yeah, tired him down. He
tired him up with face shots.
Consistent target.
There was enough face shots to wear this man out.
He really worked those knuckles, Maya, with his face. Worked him hard.
Yeah, yeah. He used his face to tire this man out.
Yeah, those knuckles were sore.
He was winded.
Ooh, those knuckles hurt.
All right, and then from there we go to Bellingham, which is just north of Seattle. There's a school there. I've only played there once. And then we'll go to Seattle.
No, we do Seattle first.
Ah.
Then Bellingham.
Okay, Bellingham's a little bit more north.
Almost the border.
Yeah.
Well, Blaine's the border. But
what's up?
Remember Lee Strathco?
Yeah, there.
Yeah. So from there we'll go across the Cascades to where the Columbia River is near Spokane. Place called the Gorge. The name of the town is George.
George Washington.
George, the Gorge.
Alright. So, and we're going to play Sasquatch Festival.
And
that's 12:40 p.m. on the 25th of May.
Last gig.
Then we got 1,118 miles to Pedro.
That's an easy one. It's all downhill.
It says on the Google map 19 hour. Maybe we play some songs.
Okay.
Play some music.
Demon is thing called, let's see, Spanish Castle Magic. Here you go. One, two, about half a day to get there. If we travel by my having a technical difficulty, so either it'll be too low or too loud for you that forgot to bring your earmuffs, you know, when you do like that. That's groovy. I wish I could, too. But I do the opposite, though. Dedicate these oldies but goodies to Wally's case. I think it'll pertain to that thing called Hey Joe.
Just heard T-Rex doing the Groover. Before that was live Jimi Hendrix doing Castles Made of Sand. And start off that chunk with Rocky Erickson and the Bloody Hammer.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Baby Ghost.
Beat it with the chain from the 1900s. To drag your
check
chain.
Those words.
What's it about? It's scary. Not a chisel.
It's kind of scary.
It's kind of scary. It's not a train. Have you been hearing this train?
We got trains going.
No, well, let it go. Come over here, dog.
They're different trains. So we could wrap up this little conversation here.
Yeah, blow it out.
Anyway.
Don't act shy now.
So it has been nice to be on tour with these guys. So far, so good. We're almost done.
This is Tom speaking.
We're tying it up. We're going to snap it off.
Let it fly.
Oh,
man, it has good. A smell to it.
Tom had an odor. Tom, it was very difficult. He's got a thing coming up with Red Crayola, and it conflicts with the benefit he was going to do. Added some stress, but it's resolved. We're going to carry on without him. Yeah. But he will play the Missing Man again on 13th. Aunt Harold's and Pedro.
Yeah.
Dirk's band playing?
No. But he's putting it together.
Ah.
Your thoughts? Oh, no. Finish your talk.
No, I mean, I was just merely saying that the tour has been a pretty enjoyable, fun, interesting, positive, not too many bad things happening. Good tour.
No big snags at all.
We didn't get arrested. No one got really sick.
Tom liked it. Tom had some sickness coming on him.
It turned out to be
he thinks
allergies.
It was allergies. Yeah.
The rains. That's why I tried the mask. You know?
He had to hunker down. We didn't talk about this, but there were some gigs where Tom had to hunker down.
Yeah, I've had some.
Rally himself. Yeah.
I had a cast.
Doorknob. The man's got a purple hip.
Yeah, I got a bad knee. A cut knuckle in Pittsburgh. Remember, I sliced
from the boat.
Yeah, leaning back. Then the sickness thing or whatever allergy. Yeah, kind of pounding.
Yeah,
but we move on.
All right,
make do. Got to do what you got to do.
Raul,
this tour has been great. Like I was saying, no big snags, and got to play with you guys and do that record.
Raul stayed healthy, good, no hurts. No, sir.
Or at least he's
trying to. I've been eating good too. Only one bad Popeyes.
Oof.
That was it, yeah. But trying to eat good food.
That has a lot
that
to do
helps,
with
it. Yeah.
Well, I think we've all learned how to eat well.
Yeah. Well, what about the Suburban Lawns thing?
Well, we were mentioned earlier, like making this drive at the middle of the night after our gig in Baltimore to head up to Brooklyn to meet with Tony. This is our one after gig drive. We never do that sort of thing, but we had to get there early because we were recording the next day. How do you stay awake? Well, wipers helped a lot, but we also went to Sheets. And then what do you do? Where do you go from there? You know, it's 3 a.m. Suburban Lawns.
Find something so bad you can't.
Suburban Lawns, the album. Not the single.
Eponymous.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
No, Eponymous means the same name as the band.
Yes, the album. The album, not the single, not... Yeah, what? Anyway, the point is, a Los Angeles experience, Long Beach, I believe.
Yeah.
They had that hit song, Janitor. They also had another somewhat hitty song, Gidget Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
They had some really catchy tunes. Anything that Sue Tissue sang is... pretty interesting. Pretty
it's
interesting.
My first time hearing this stuff.
Pretty. She's truly
never
one.
Never heard it. Well.
She's truly a bizarre person.
I knew they used to play.
This is from late
'70s. Babe's Warehouse. Then, did you guys practice there, Long Beach on Santa Fe?
No, what they practiced was Anaheim and Magnolia, the old Suburban Lawns place. It's apartment building.
So then you get to the other songs on the record. this is what kept us awake. Maybe we should just play some for you.
Okay.
I think that's probably the best thing to do. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yep.
and technically that's how it should be. Computer date, the perfect mate. Science is great, computer date.
Saucer Safari, Jam the Controls, another nugget, Jam. Computer Date, one of the finest.
Phenomenal.
Not Allowed, fantastic. I think Not Allowed is more or less sums up the entire tour.
Right.
That's kind of great. Encapsulates.
Right, epiphany.
Not Allowed.
Keep your powder dry.